health, beauty and well-being, and sometimes sex. Listen to Radio Gorgeous every day.
So today I'm excited to welcome Emma Wolfe to Radio Gorgeous. Oxford English graduate, successful journalist, TV presenter, niece of Virginia Woolf, and ex-anorexic. We're here today to talk about your latest book, Letting Go, How to Heal Your Hurt, Love Your Body and Transform Your Life. Hi Emma, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi Josephine, thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So the title of a book is a very big ask. What spurred you on to write it?
It's a huge ask, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in some ways, I thought long and hard about this, and I think in some ways letting go is at the root of lots and lots and lots of the issues that many of us struggle with. In terms of what led me to write it, well, my first book was An Apple a Day, and that was very much about the process of those 10 years of anorexia and beginning the journey of recovery, beginning to gain weight. My second book, The Ministry of Thin, was a sort of feminist call to arms, a manifesto for us all to reject the rubbish around everybody needing to be stick thin and constantly being on diets. And so when I began to write Letting Go, I suppose it was looking back over the process of facing my demons and starting to recover from anorexia. And it was realising that actually, although I was physically recovered and I had gained the weight and my BMI, my body mass index, is healthy again, there was actually a lot of emotional recovery still to do. And there still is, I imagine.
So it's very, very personal, the book. I mean, you have been so searingly honest. Was that the intention?
I go back and forth on this one, Josephine, because the other day I looked back, I needed a quote from something I'd written. I looked back at An Apple a Day and I could barely read it. And I say that in all honesty, it was painful to me to read the honesty and the kind of, I find it really hard to look back at that time. I hope Letting Go is as honest. It's always intended to be. When I read books, what really, really touches me is when I identify. It doesn't matter what, I mean, the one book that often comes to mind is Doris Lessing, The Golden Notebook.
Yes.
And she writes about what touches us in other people is when we can identify with it. And that's exactly the same for me. When I read a book, no matter what it's about, or when I speak to someone, if I have that feeling of, you know, me too, I've been there too, then that's what really speaks to me. I don't think my experiences are anything special. That's the whole point, is that When we reach out, when we're honest about our feelings, what we realise is not that we're freaks or that we're strange or that we need to be ashamed or anything. What we realise is that other people have been through the same thing, and that has really, that's always helped me.
Yes, yeah, well, I think it's very, very brave. Now let's look at a few chapters. You went to a thing called a transformational retreat in France. It sounded quite...
This is what kicked it all off, yeah. Really.
Well, it sounded quite scary.
It was pretty amazing. It was 9 or 10 days in the French Pyrenees, in the middle of nowhere, with nothing digital, no computers, no TV, no phones, no radio, no newspapers, no magazines. And we did a lot of yoga, and we did a lot of neurotherapy, which is this brain mechanism whereby you work on your brain waves in order to change these kind of set patterns that we all have in our thinking and in our behaviour.
So is that the sort of brain waves when they do nodes on people's heads, they find out that meditation calms you down? Is it the same sort of thing?
Exactly. And it's about forging new neural pathways. And so you do about sort of 2 or 3 hours of these quite intensive brain exercises every day, because what they do is they set you in front of a big screen and they put these sort of sensors on your head, and they work on different parts of the brain, so maybe the frontal lobe or the hypothalamus or whatever. I don't know what
the names. Yeah.
They do a scan at the beginning. They work out which areas of your brain are really, really over sort of red, the red patches.
Yes.
And then they work on those areas. And so you're looking at a screen, and the more you can relax your brain in those areas, the better the new pathways are being forged. But here's the thing, yeah. You can't make it happen. And even just letting one's brain be in that zone, which is the optimum zone, that even that was very, very hard. We're sort of geared to run or to attack or to respond, when actually we just need to chill, we need to relax. I find that very, very hard.
Yeah, especially as if you've been in anorexia, I imagine it is about control.
Absolutely. It's controlling everything, but it's also this hyper alertness. We don't need it. We're not about to be attacked by wild boar. The food is not in short supply. All of these things are pretty maladaptive for modern day life.
My weekday fix, darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous. Your next chapter is about body image, and as the presenter of Super Size and Super Skinny, body image has been an issue with you. It's an issue with all women. Can you just tell us in a couple of sentences an idea that could change the way we look at our body?
Okay, well, it's obviously a huge subject and it's an ongoing one for all of us. But I think one of the biggest breakthroughs for me was to actually start to value myself, and for us all to value our bodies for the miraculous work that they do, the way they think, the way they feel, the things they allow us to do, you know, to really, I know it can sound easy and it's not easy, but it's about really appreciating what we can do rather than how we look, how we contrast with other people, how we compare, the competitiveness, all of that stuff. You know, just step back. We see thousands of images of other women, perfect women, airbrushed women, digital women, older, younger, fatter, thinner, every day. Step back from all that, if we can, and start to appreciate ourselves for what we actually do.
And be grateful maybe for our health.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
When, especially as I'm sort of 20 years older than you, I'm in my 50s. So I see people now in their 70s and I think, oh gosh, 20 years time, you know what I mean? It's coming, the old age. So I should appreciate every day that I can walk out of my door.
Exactly. Just being in good health is an amazing thing. And like you, I look back now 10, 20 years and I think, God, I looked absolutely lovely. I looked young. You didn't at the time. You were really racked with insecurities. No more. You know, we really do need to stand up to this stuff because it's silly. It makes us unhappy. And what really makes me upset, Josephine, is the fact that there are women every day who start off the day hating themselves.
Yeah.
Every day they wake up. You know, apparently the average woman has 13 negative body image thoughts before she gets to work.
Well, I used to lie down. First thing I used to do was grab the fat around my stomach and think, how fat am I feeling today? I mean,
exactly.
It's, yeah.
And the last thing I used to do at night was work out how much I'd eaten. Well, what is up with that?
Yeah, yeah. Why can't we just be more like men in that way?
Exactly.
You know, they don't give a shit.
No, they don't.
You also deal with confidence. Do you think women are brought up to have less than men and to be brought up as people pleasers?
Yes, we are. We absolutely are. I've been doing a lot of research about this recently, and little girls are brought up being fed less. Even baby girls are fed less. They're weaned earlier. We are brought up to defer to little boys. We're brought up not to make a fuss. We're brought up not to get messy, not to get dirty, not to all of that stuff, which is fine. I totally, you know, I do it with my nieces. But from the beginning, we are brought up to, as you say, to be people pleasers. And I don't want anyone to be aggressive or to be, you know, antisocial. But I just don't think we need to be so apologetic about being good, being clever, being emotionally open, being smart, being funny. None of that stuff, you know. And the fact is, find a man or find a partner, whoever. Find someone who loves you the way you are, not someone who needs you to be, you know, the shrinking violet or the good little girl who never feels hungry. I mean, I did that for too long. That's silly.
So you need someone to fall in love with your spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And you've obviously got a strong one.
What a beautiful way of putting it.
Oh, you're lovely. You also talk about trusting your gut, using intuition. How do we get in touch with our intuition? Do you know?
There are some actual exercises you can do. And this sounds odd because we talk about gut instinct and we all know that. But actually, when you get nervous, it's weird how your body responds. I mean, I won't go into detail, but your whole insides can turn to jelly. When you're anxious, I get terrible migraine when I'm very, very anxious, when I've been under pressure. So our bodies are an incredible barometer, a physical barometer of how we're feeling. So here's an exercise we can all do. When you're worrying about a decision that you have to make, you know, should I move? Should I take that new job? Should I break up with so-and-so? Whatever. Just for a moment, sit and listen to your body. See how one decision feels, and then see how the other decision feels. And very often, our bodies give us a really good indication of what the right thing to do for us is.
Fascinating. So literally, close your eyes and listen to the way, if your body scrunches up. And
The knotting sensation, the heart rate, the blood pressure, all of that stuff is a really good sign of what feels right. And you know, and I know, that usually our instincts and what feels right are usually the things that we should have gone with, really.
Exactly. It's fascinating stuff, your book.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Now, we are officially addicted to technology. We check our phones 150 times a day. In fact, I'm talking to you on Skype. I'm recording it on my iPhone. I mean, I can't get more technical than this. What is this doing to us, and how can we slow down?
Okay, what it was doing to me before I went on that retreat was, and it happens all the time to me still, is I was completely overwired. I was strung out. I was burning out. I was, you know, I mean, I still do. My BlackBerry, my iPhone, everything is on my bedside table first thing in the morning. Almost before we have even, most of us, before we're out of bed, we're already online. Let's be honest.
Yes.
You know, not only what it's doing to us sort of stress-wise and emotionally, but scientists have shown that the blue light, the backlights on our screen, interfere with our melatonin so that our ability to sleep is being totally disrupted. You know, if I wake up during the night, I probably turn on my BlackBerry and start checking email. You know, all of that stuff is just not great for our bodies. But let's remember, this is such recent stuff. I mean, human beings have been around for thousands of years, and this is all incredibly recent. This is in the last few decades that we've really started changing all this. And what it's doing to our brains is, of course, there's great stuff. I'm not a Luddite. There's great stuff. But I really advocate having weekends offline if you can, or having a day offline, or even just having the odd hour where you just turn off everything. Go for a walk, read a book, talk, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because I find if I do anything on the internet after 6 p.m, I don't sleep as well. I really don't. And
no,
I try and...
We get so frazzled by it all. And don't you find that you're going from one screen to the next screen to the next screen to the next link? And you're not really... It's not productive at all. You're not getting anything done. I mean...
But also I've realised, you know, it used to be the screen was the telly, wasn't it? That was your screen. Yeah. But now it's like, oh, I shut down my Apple and I turn on my smart telly, you know.
Exactly. And a lot of time when I'm watching something, I'm tweeting about it as well, you know.
Yeah,
Is ridiculous. But so... I think if we can, having time off all of that stuff, it feels great.
It really does. I'm really an advocate for it. Now, I know it's another big question, but how do we heal?
Okay, well, I think it's about reaching out to others. And again, that sounds a little bit cheesy, but I mean it in the sort of most genuine way. For me, the last few years have been such a healing process because of other people, because of them sharing their stories with me and me sharing my stories with them. And that is incredibly healing. And it's, you know, I suppose it's one good thing about the internet and about Twitter is these wonderful communities and this feeling of being all being in it together and all of that. So how do we heal? Well, it's everything that we've discussed today. It's confidence. It's learning to accept oneself. It's really having time in nature, having time with friends, having time, real time with people, rather than digital ideas, virtual reality. But it's also about trust and trusting yourself. And I didn't trust myself for a long, long, long time. So I think if we trust that we're going to be all right, that's the first step on the road to it.
Wonderful. And then letting go, it's obviously a massive, big question again. Can you just tell us one yoga tip that you have, because you're an advocate of yoga now, to make us be able to physically let go, and that could help our brains let go?
Okay, well, this is an embarrassing admission. I found out that I really didn't even know how to breathe. I mean, learning to breathe was an amazing... To be learning to breathe in my 30s is completely crazy. But I've been breathing for years, apparently. Really kind of tight, stressed out breaths from the top of my chest. And on that yoga retreat, I was taught how to breathe right, you know, from right down in my diaphragm, really into my abdomen. And I think women, I think we're always holding in our stomach muscles. I know that sounds silly. But I think we're taught to have a perfect silhouette. So we hold in our stomach muscles and we don't really breathe in and out deeply. And that makes a huge difference.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. Letting Go, How to Heal Your Hurt, Love Your Body and Transform Your Life is published by Summersdale. Emma, you've been a joy to talk to. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com, produced and presented by Josephine Pembroke and beautifully edited by Ella Gray Thomas, 2015.